seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 6, and the 12th verse. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, and verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. These words have rested upon one spirit ever since the funeral yesterday of our beloved sister. And those of you who are present will know that I read what she said. The Lord spoke to her one night, gather up the fragments that remain. And she felt as she looked to her life, that's what she got to do, and write what the Lord had done. But I want to just set the scene which this word was spoken by the dear Saviour. We find first of all, and there's some blessed points really in this case, that a great company, as Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming unto him. And we find on other occasions there were many that came to him because of the wondrous things that he had done. And we find it here, the great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. But then, as this great company was coming to him, he speaks to Philip, one of the disciples, and he puts this question to him. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. You know, if we've got a real religion, it's got to be proved. And Philip's had. And if we've got a grain of living faith, God-given faith, it must be proved. And it'll be proved by the Lord. And it's a wonderful thing when our little hope it stands the proving. The grain of living faith that the Lord has given us stands that proving. You think of Abraham, how the Lord proved his faith in offering up Isaac, the child of promise. And we read, don't we, that dear Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then you look in the case of dear Job, how the Lord proved his faith. You know, real faith that is given by the Lord will be proved. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. And it may be there are those of you that the trust the Lord has given you, a grain of living faith, and yet you seem to have to go through many fires. And it's to prove your faith, poor soul. Oh, it is. Well, here, the Lord was to prove Philip. And this he said to him, to prove him. And then we find this beautiful word. For he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do to feed these 5,000. But he proves Philip. And it may be in what you're in today, and there are many places we come into, both in our souls, in our pathways, in the things of providence. The Lord brings his dear people into a proving season, but he knew what he was going to do. Oh, he did. And you think of dear Job, which we named just now. In all what Job had to go through, the Lord knew before Satan was ever let loose to attack Job, the Lord knew what he was going to do, and he was going to deliver Job and put Satan down. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And it may be there are those of you this evening, you may be walking in things and you cannot understand them. And you say, why has this come, Lord? But he knows what he's going to do. And here we have it. For he himself knew what he would do. There was no doubt about it. He knew how to provide for this great company of 5,000. And then Philip gives him the answer. He says, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And you see, we often look and we're like Philip, we've no stones to cast at him. You look at it in a natural way. He looked at the absolute impossibility. How could even 200 penny worth of bread be sufficient for this great number? And you know, the trouble is, and I say it to my shame, so often we look at things and we think, well, it's impossible. Well, it is with us, and it was with these dear disciples, wasn't it? And maybe those things that you're in this evening, poor soul, and they look impossible. And they are with you and with me. But what do we read? But with God, all things are possible. Oh, they are. And here we have the wonderful proof of it. Philip thought, even though this 200 penny worth of bread, they'd better have just a little each. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, and this beautiful word, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? But you know, that lad had everything to supply the need, and more than the need, of these 5,000. not in and of himself, but he was the messenger or the bringer of these vital things. You know, whenever I read that verse, I think of an old deacon in London in my early days in the ministry. And he was a very forthright man and always spoke just what he thought. He said to me once, he said, you know, we had a young minister come to preach to us, he said, a few Sundays ago. And he said, I was very apprehensive about having him. And he said, you know, for many reasons, he said, I would have stopped him coming because he was just young. But he said, one night, he said, as I thought about it all, he said, the Lord spoke to me. And he said, he settled the whole matter. And the Lord said this to him, there is a lad here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And he said, you know, I could see even this lad coming and ministering to us, and what he was to preach was vital to our souls. And you know, the dear man never forgot that, you know. He said it was a lesson to him. But the Lord knew how to answer the dear man, you see. And think of it here. You know, in the hands of the disciples, these 5 loaves and 2 fishes were never sufficient, were they, for this great multitude? But it wasn't in their hands. It was in the hands of the Lord Jesus. And in his hand there was to be absolutely sufficient and more to spare, as our text says, than what these 5,000 needed. What a wonderful thing it is. I think Dr. Hawker spoke of it on one occasion when he said, you know, the storehouses in heaven will never run dry. The sufficient in the Lord's storehouse in heaven to supply the need of every one of his dear children, whether it be in providence or whether it be in their soul. So Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. This lad in himself hadn't anything sufficient, had he? But you see, the sufficiency was of God. It's a beautiful word what the Apostle Paul said in writing to the church in Corinth. And so often the children of God feel exactly what he said. Who is sufficient for these things? And every God-sent servant will feel that. Lord, who is sufficient for these things? But the mercy was that the dear apostle didn't leave it there, did he? He goes further and he says, but our sufficiency is of God. We sing in the hymn, don't we? All sufficient is our Jesus. Do you know what it is to draw from that blessed sufficiency there is in him to supply your every need? Think of that beautiful word we sing in the hymn, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And then the Saviour begins his blessed work. Jesus made the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And then the dear Redeemer takes these loaves. Jesus took the loaves. But listen, what did he do first? And what an example there is to us there. And when he had given thanks, you know, before each meal we should do this, which I trust we each do, but so often it can be just a form of words. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord gives us a truly thankful heart, so we can praise and bless his holy name for all that he gives us, both in the food we eat and to the food for our never-dying souls, his word. And when he had given thanks. Now, let us pause a moment. Think about today. How many times have you and I really given thanks in our hearts to the Lord? Not just for our daily bread, but for his great mercies toward us. That we are not in a deserved hell. That he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. But we're still here on praying ground. There's much to give thanks over, isn't it? What did Paul write to the church in Thessalonica? It's a wonderful word, really. I remember preaching the Thanksgiving service at Chippenham from it, if I remember rightly. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you know, as the apostle said, in everything give thanks, he endorses it with the most blessed and sacred endorsement he could ever give it. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And you think how the dear Redeemer set this beautiful pattern. How many times, if we can read it through the Gospels, as he walked this earth, he gave thanks to his beloved Father. You know, it's a wonderful place to be brought into real thanksgiving. Herbert Dawson used to say, what does the word thanksgiving really mean? He said in his simple way, he used to say, it means thanks living. Giving God the praise and living out that thanksgiving. The hymn writer said, oh, that my soul could love and praise him more, his beauty's trace, his majesty adore, live near his heart, upon his bosom lean, obey his voice, and all his will esteem. Is that your desire and mine? And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And then we find the words of our text. And when they were filled. It's a wonderful thing to be filled, isn't it? When does it, we looking at it in a natural way, when is it we really appreciate a meal and feel satisfied when we're filled? It's when we're really hungry. And when we think back over the dear souls such as our dear sister taken to glory, in those days there was such a hunger for the word of God. You take a little babe looking at the natural side of it. When it is filled, it's satisfied, isn't it? It can sleep. It can rest. It's a wonderful thing to see that little babe, though may have been crying with hunger, as soon as it is fed and it is filled, it's satisfied. And you know, the Lord Jesus alone will satisfy his dear people. He satisfied these 5,000, didn't he? They didn't just have a little that Philip thought they would have from these 5 loaves and 2 fishes or the 200 pennyworth. They were all filled. Now, to bring it right home to us, and I must be brief, do you long to be filled? Lord, do come and fill me. There are so many things, really, the real child of God longs for the Lord to fill them with. To fill them with his grace. To fill them with living, vital faith. To fill them with his love. But do we know anything of what it is to really desire that? To be filled? And to be filled with heavenly food. Sacred place, you know, when we've been filled and we go home from the house of God and our souls are full. And then we can love and praise his blessed name, can't we? Think of our beloved sister, what I read to you yesterday. How the Lord came and he filled her. So her soul was full. All she wanted was Jesus only. He was the one thing needful. He was very precious to her. She knew what it was to be in the depths, but he came and filled her with his love. We know the fullness of this filling will be in glory when we can crown him Lord of all. The hymn writer said, till my full soul can hold no more of everlasting love. Oh, may there be those times where the Lord so comes and he fills us. Whether it be under the preaching of the word, or in the singing of the hymns, or the reading of the word, or even in prayer. Or it may be in the night season in the bedroom, or it may be in on the land, or on the sea. He can fill his dear people. And so we read, and when they were filled, now there was appointed time when they were to be filled. And that was the Lord's time. They weren't there by chance, these 5,000. They come to see Jesus, to hear his word, and to be filled, hungry as they were. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, Jesus said, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. And oh, may there be those sweet times when he does fill us. Lord, do come and fill me with the riches of thy grace. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain. When they were filled, that meant they were satisfied, they could rest, they could bless his holy name. But then, what about gathering up these fragments? You think each of us are getting older in years, day by day, hour by hour. None of us know how many hours or days or weeks or months or years we shall be here. Have you got a few fragments to gather up of what the Lord has done? You see, these fragments that they were to gather up here were all what the Saviour had done for them, wasn't it? It is he that had provided for them. It was all his work. And you think, have we got a few fragments to gather up? Our dear departed sister yesterday, you see, she left a volume of fragments of what the Lord had done. I only touched a little part of it. We know it was through nearly 100 years, but some of us have not gone as far as that yet. But have we not got a few fragments to gather up? This is what the Lord spoke to me on this occasion when I was in the depths. This has been the time where the Lord has so heard and answered my prayers. You think of dear Hannah. She got some fragments to raise up in praise to her God of what the Lord had done in giving her a Samuel, delivering her from her troubles. You know, there's some sweet records of the depths the Lord brings his dear children in his word, isn't it? But oh, look at the sweet fragments that they could gather up in praise to the Lord for what he had done. You think the wording of this is very beautiful, really, because gather up the fragments, the little pieces that are left. And you think Satan may try and rob you of this and rob you of that, but have you not got a few fragments that you can gather up and you can say, well, I believe these were the Lord's gift to my soul. It may be abundant blessings. But you see, as he says, these fragments, that's how the child of God will feel, as we named yesterday concerning our beloved sister. You see, she felt they were only fragments. But all the realities that were in it. It was God's work, not hers. And she wanted him to have the glory. She felt they were only fragments, and so often those that venture to follow the Lord, they say, well, we've got a few fragments we hope we can say to his dear people. I've told you before that when I chaired the church meeting at Great Yeldham back in 1984, my father lay dead, and I was in much sorrow, but I know it was a blessed thing to go to that church meeting. And dear old Mr. Tarbin, you know, the Lord had so blessed him and brought him to follow the Lord in his evening time of life. And I should never forget how he began when I asked him to say a few things of what the Lord had done for him. And he said, I've come like this. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. And you know, the dear man was full. It was all what Jesus had done for him. He felt only to have got fragments, but you know, he got everything really, because let me tell you, this poor soul, they must leave it. But if you got Christ, you got everything. It's all summed up in that really. Give me Christ or else I die. If you've got the dear Redeemer as your Saviour, your Redeemer, all your hope for time and eternity is in him, you may feel to have got but fragments. You've got everything. Because everything is in him. In him a rich fullness dwells, the dear hymn writer said. And the poor sinner can draw from it. Oh, they can. Gather up the fragments. Don't let them lay waste. That nothing. And these are the words, they're not mine, poor soul, tonight. They're what Jesus said. Gather up the fragments that remain. That nothing be lost. And that which is of God you will never lose. The devil will do all he can to try and take it from you, but he never can. If we've ever had a taste of the love of Christ in our soul, what did the hymn writer say? The mark of that celestial seal shall never be erased. Well, I've scratched around the surface of it. May the Holy Spirit lay this deep in each of our hearts. Firstly, that we might long to be filled. And oh, may the Lord favour many in these dark and solemn days to be filled with his pardoning love, all the riches of his grace, and filled with his love. You know, if you go into the Song of Solomon, you'll find the spouse of Christ there, filled with the love of Christ. There was none to her like her beloved. She could truly say, couldn't she? My beloved is mine, and I am his. And oh, the sweetness of it and the savour of it in her soul. She could praise his blessed name. When they were filled. And that's the time to follow him. When you're full. When you're under the blessing. Christ first and last and all and in all. And he said unto his disciples, notice it was said to the, and it says to his disciples today, those disciples of his in the earth, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. Well, may we lay it to heart, and may we be enabled to obey what the Lord has said here. They did. They gathered them up. 12 baskets full. One for every disciple. Wonderful thing that was, wasn't it? The 12 of them. A basket full each. And they could truly bless and praise the Lord for it. Amen.